There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archive for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome once again, folks, to What's On Your Mind, Tuesday, January 6th edition. Wind chill advisories, wind chill warnings. It's cold, you know that, but we start with that. Just to remind you that we do have a cold snap underway and want you to be a little careful. By the way, I see we'll be in Frisco, Texas on Saturday, and there's some talk of freezing rain for game day on Saturday.
So that's our advantage, isn't it?
Don't expect some reprieve from the weather for you Bison fans. Might be to our advantage for the players.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah, exactly right. Couple of things in the news we're going to cover here. A couple of guests that will join us on the program today. A lot to get to. Most importantly, we want you to know your calls, your questions, your comments are welcome at 800-228-0550. We're going to keep catch up with one of the players from Farmland. The movie Farmland. It'll be in North Dakota for the North Dakota Farm Bureau Farm and Ranch Conference. We're also going to talk with Max Schneider. He's the Democratic leader in the Senate. Day one of the legislative session is today. And so we'll chat with the top Democrat to get his take on what he hopes will happen in the 2015 session. This afternoon, Governor Jack Dalrymple will lay out his... It's how things began. The governor highlights where North Dakota's at, talks about the priorities and... Going forward. It's called the State of the State, so that'll happen before the legislative session today as well. So a lot happening on the legislative front. Now, impossible, I believe, not to have on our hearts and minds the story out of Larimore, North Dakota, about a school bus collision with a train. Two individuals died in that accident, 12 injured. We know now from Sergeant Tom Iverson of the North Dakota Highway Patrol. Well, let's play what he said about
that. Preliminary investigations right now show that the school bus driver apparently slid to his stop, which would have put him over top of the railroad crossing.
So evidently slick conditions there and unable to stop.
Not sure, how fast he was going leading up to it or at what point he tried to stop. It appears, at least from the preliminary investigation, he did try to stop. Now, was he going too fast in the first place? I don't know that we're ever really going to conclusively know that. But at least it wasn't a situation of him just plowing through it thinking, there's not going to be a train. There usually isn't a train, which is what the picture made it look like.
Yeah, and I hate second-guessing those situations that you're not in. Yeah. I also think,
at least he tried. There is some element of having tried to stop. Right. From the picture, it didn't even look like that. So that's something anyway.
And, we've got folks saying, why aren't there seatbelts on buses? Do you think there should be? Joan says this is the second fatal accident at that crossing. Seatbelts do fend much against a train. Seatbelts do fend much against a train. How about finally putting crossing arms at all intersections? My friend's
excellent argument for that.
My friend's husband was the first fatality. She fought for 2 years with BNSF to put arms at that crossing. Her grandchildren were the kids dropped off right before the accident. Imagine that. It's just beyond comprehension.
Oh, my God, really? Oh.
Why will they not put a simple fix to these problems? Now, to Jane's point, I missed part of her message here. Seatbelts.
Joan.
Joan is saying... train versus bus, bus will always lose.
Train versus anything, the other thing loses.
My thanks go to the first responders of our community. These are common folks, well-trained, obviously, but they volunteer for the job. They have the nightmares for a long time. Had it not been for their quick response to stabilize these children, many more would have died. That is from Joan, who's obviously from Larimore. Naomi says, if you're coming from the south, you can't see to the east and west. It's a bad intersection. I was just on that road... that morning, I know there had to be something else wrong because every time I watched for the bus for my kids to get on, he always stopped at that stop sign going over and coming back. It's a bad intersection. First and foremost, it's human nature, and it's in all of us to say something bad happened, we want to fix it. I get that. But, you know, we are so blessed to have the folks that get behind the bus every day and get our precious resource, this you know, cargo of ours, kids, you know, school to home, home to school, safely, and 99.9% of the time it happens great. When one of these happens, there's always the second guessing and everything else, and I get that. To the extent it can be proactive and we can help prevent something like this in the future, bring it on. Is it seatbelts? You know, I know you hear that from time to time, and obviously I am of the opinion that, you know, if seatbelts would make kids safer in the school buses, they'd be there. I don't think it's a cost thing. I don't think it's a – I think it's one of those things that's just been –
So you really think kids are safest? I got to admit, I'm going to take the contrary position here, not just acting it out either. Buses are big, right? You get a lot of room between the seats.
But
in the back seat of a car where you might be more in more of a cocoon, you need the seatbelt. But you don't need it in the bus where there's all this room where you could be thrashed around.
Why are there not seatbelts in school buses? Do you think it's some conspiracy theory to save a buck or something? Or?
It might be.
Well, anyway, you know, it's been raised, so I'm no expert. I'm just of the opinion that if it was going to make kids safer, I believe that they would have seatbelts on school buses. That's my take. But welcome your take on this. But let's keep in mind how well this is done in so many places every single day. All right, while being proactive to say we want it to happen, and certainly keeping the family of this bus driver and this 17-year-old girl in our prayers, as others that are in a tough spot right now, injured, suffered, you know, broken bones, three in very serious conditions. So there are also others that are being cared for as we speak. This happened about 4 o'clock yesterday, Larimore, North Dakota. What's your take on it? 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. So we'll talk about that tragic accident there. You know, I find myself conflicted every time I fill up my tank these days because we spend a fair amount of time on this program talking about the uncertainty of what oil prices mean for the overall North Dakota, you know, energy renaissance. And I am of the opinion that this is but a bump in the road, and a bump in the road will make us a little bit stronger in the end. To the extent we catch up a little bit, we pull in our horns where necessary, we retool a little here or there, that's fine. And obviously, we wouldn't want this for a lengthy period of time, but I think it's a correction, and it's okay. But a lot of people are jumping up and down about the price of gas plummeting, and that certainly is a benefit of a lot of energy production, and North Dakota can pound its chest a little in that regard that it's helped. Because, you know, the bottom line of supply and demand, because of the energy renaissance in North America and a lot of what's happened right here in North Dakota, we're producing more oil, and actually now more is being created than is in demand. And that's when price plummets. But if you do the math on what you're going to save if prices stayed in this neighborhood of $2, you know, it's a nice little bit of change in your pocket without question. And there's other things you can spend it on. That's a good thing. And as I say, I find myself conflicted liking that, but a tad concerned about what the bigger picture means. We've talked to plenty of experts. I'd love to hear from our experts. Those are called our listeners, right, Todd?
Absolutely.
I'd like a little good old-fashioned Northern Plains common sense on this issue. What's your take on falling oil prices? And there is a benefit, lower price at the pump when you're filling up. Is that worth it, given all the other questions that it brings? What's your take on that, okay? Let us know. Congressman Kevin Cramer will vote today, along with his colleagues, on who the next Speaker of the House will be. I found out this morning that votes actually already happened. They had the vote in the conference, and now they're doing it sort of again, because previously no members had challenged Speaker Boehner, and then now they have. Congressman Kevin Cramer was on Morning Joe on MSNBC this morning. He was asked, how will he vote? He defended Speaker John Boehner. I want to get your reaction to that. He'll join us tomorrow on the program as well and talk about that. But that's something else everybody's watching. And then, of course, the legislative session kicking off today as well. So those are the things in the news. There's others as well. And we welcome your calls, questions, and comments. Got a full bank of phone calls. We want to get to all those as well here this morning on the program. We call What's On Your Mind. 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Dustin Mandan, I'm going to go to you first. You got about 30 seconds before our break. We'll finish on the other side if we need to.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dustin.
Well, you know, that train accident in Larimore, you know, the railroad is so picky about their safety program. Why can't we have those crossing arms at every intersection? You know, it just blows my mind that even there's so many train accidents all the time, and it seems like somebody always gets hurt. And I feel that if they had those crossing arms at every intersection, that might help prevent them. Maybe it wouldn't. You know, the slippery road conditions, maybe he still would have run into that train.
All right, good point. Dustin wants crossing arms at every intersection. Agree? Let us know. Chuck, Fred, Henry, Bob, and others waiting to go at 800-228-0550. This is called What's On Your Mind because we want to know. Give us a call today.
It's that time of year, a season of falling temperatures, snow-covered peaks, and blanket of white. But with the vibrant colors and latest styles of great brands like the North Face, Patagonia, Burton, Spyder, and Obermeyer, winter fashion is a wonderland. And you'll find all this season's best looks waiting for you at Scheels. So let it snow.
Scheels, when it comes to gear and expert advice, we're right there with you in Bismarck, Minot, Grand Forks, Fargo, and Moorhead.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try.
KeepItLocal.com. KeepItLocal.com, the Northland's most respected auto shopping website for over 10 years. Whether you're looking to buy or sell a car, truck, SUV, or boat, KeepItLocal.com keeps it simple. With hundreds of dealers and private sellers, our inventory changes daily. We are the source for finding your next auto or power sport item. Remember, KeepItLocal.com. We keep it simple.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
Watford City. We're not the same. We're better. We're building, rearranging, and making room to improve the lives of our growing community. Today, we're sushi bars, fine dining, movie theaters, superior hotels, shopping centers, Main Street business, and small town service. We're water parks, play parks, walking paths, a state-of-the-art wellness center, and an up-and-coming community event center equipped for banquets, meetings, sports, special events, and much more. We're Watford City. We're kids first. Parks and rec programming, quality education, school and hospital expansions, and a superior daycare center. We're new jobs, new housing developments, new ideas, and new people coming home. We're what the buzz is all about, and we're open for business. Come see for yourself. Watford City. We're not the same. We're better.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
Today by the North Dakota Farm Bureau. A little later in the program, we're going to meet one of the speakers coming up there, Farm and Ranch Conference, by the way, who was in the movie Farmland. You see, it's a good one. And you can find out more about the North Dakota Farm Bureau. And specifically, I'd love for you to take advantage of some of the membership benefits. Buying a new vehicle, discounts above the discounts you already get, or the hot deal of the day at the dealership. There's cell phone plans, there's hotel stays, there's a lot of things. Sears, I mean, I could go on and on. Check it out at ndfb.org. under membership, okay? Also, next hour, Max Schneider, Democratic leader in the Senate, will join us. The new legislative session underway today, so looking forward to that. All right, back to the phone calls here at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Earlier caller wanted crossings at every train crossing. I was just thinking of this, and he mentioned this, but in this case, what limited knowledge we have of the accident scene of this bus that collided with a train at Larimore, with two fatalities and several injuries, the bus slid. So a crossing, you know, a wood crossing isn't necessarily going to save, you know, you from, maybe, you know, depending on the speed of what you're sliding through.
Well, at least if you see an obstacle, you might go, oh, maybe I should stop.
But again, this bus, as an eyewitness said, stopped regularly there, right? So, you know, not a newbie, not, you know, so.
And Tom Iverson from the Highway Patrol said preliminary investigation said he tried to stop.
So anyway, we're talking solutions today and what should be done, and welcome your thoughts on this. Chuck in Towner County, you're next on What's On Your Mind. Go ahead, Chuck.
You aren't looking like a good Democrat engineer would look at this problem. First of all, we close all the schools. And if you don't want to do that, we put in steel boxes in each of the buses with doors on them so we lock the kids in. But then, of course, you'd have problems with fire, so you can't do that. But maybe we just don't allow schools to be on the opposite side of the road. Or, finally, we only let the bus go from 3:30 to 4:30, and all the trains have to shut down.
You know, Chuck, I totally get your point, and you know, what I was trying to start with at the beginning is to say, number one, you know, I have a hard time in any way being humorous when you think of, you know, the pain these families are going through, and just that sheer fear that you can imagine any parent that knew they had a child on that bus and heard about the accident and everything else we're going through.
But
on the other hand, we do have to focus on that, you know, you can't prevent every accident.
Right.
And
life is dangerous, but
yeah.
Maybe, you know, if the bus would have slid onto the track, we've already proven that we can't put the gates in and stuff like that, but nobody seems to look at that. I heard one of your people from Valley City yesterday, you know, they come up with asinine rules, but a lot of people go along with them. So you got to use common sense here.
Chuck, appreciate your take. Thanks. Others, welcome. What is on your mind? What would you do different? And whether it's, by the way, the accident at Larimore or anything else on your mind, have at it today, friends. That's why we're here. 800-228-0550. Let's go to Wing, North Dakota, for some Fred sense. Hello, Fred.
Hello, Scott. Do you know that when it's 24 below zero, you only has to warm up 56 degrees before it starts to thaw?
Well, that's a pleasant thought. Thank you for that, Fred. Yeah, I've never done the math on that, but given the windshield warnings and windshield advisories, how cold is it in Wing?
Well, it's only 7 below here, but the other night it got down to 24 below.
Did you notice the difference?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess maybe a little bit. Yeah.
I don't really notice the difference unless the wind's really kicking, you know?
But anyway, Scott.
Cold is cold to me.
This to me. Yeah, it's cold. Scott,
what am I doing to you? Am I taking you down a path you don't want to go?
No, you brought up so many things today, you know, and I was going to talk about something else, but I do have some secondhand knowledge from a couple of experts about this bus thing.
Okay.
I wasn't going to talk about that, but I'm going to spend my time. My uncle was a bus guy. He had a big bus company, and he contracted for school districts all over South Dakota. And this seatbelt issue came up on the buses. And he told me the whole story. God rest his soul, but he was besides being my uncle, he's a good friend of mine. He told me the whole story about seatbelts in there. And the legislature at Pierre was going to put seatbelts in all of the South Dakota buses. And he said that'd be all right, but he said, you know, the padding around inside the buses and the way they make the seats cost way more than seatbelts to begin with, and that's been put in there for a reason. They say that it saves more lives. And he had to go to Pierre and make a bunch of trips from Spearfish over to Pierre and debate that issue with him, and he showed him all his statistics, and they came up with the accidents that he actually had. Accidents in his company, plus other people all over the state and in other states that proved that, that the seat belts had a lot of more problems than the padding when there was accidents in buses. And he was able to convince him and other people were able to convince the South Dakota legislature there that year. That was about 10, 15 years ago when he done this. That the way the buses are set up now, it's actually safer for the children without seat belts. And then there's a liability issue where you can't blame a child if they take their seatbelt off. They're not 18 and they can't be charged. So the bus drivers were the ones that were in charge of making sure that every belt was tightened, and they couldn't even keep, wouldn't even be able to keep bus drivers. And so that got to be an issue. And then on the rail, I have another expert that, secondhand knowledge that talked to me. I think I talked to you on KFYR about this before, about the railroad crossings. Now, he told me he lives in a little town in Nebraska where they double these tracks, like they're trying to do in North Dakota. We were always able to deal with it with a minimal amount of injury when the tracks were spread out 25 miles apart in Nebraska and in North Dakota. Now we don't have those old rail systems anymore. They're going to double them instead of spreading them out. And people were able to deal with it even without crossings. But when they doubled the tracks, the injuries went way up in small towns along the tracks and in rural areas because there was more train traffic. So he said that doubling the tracks is not a good deal, and it could get worse for us here in North Dakota.
All right, Fred, appreciate that insight. Like you say, a secondhand source, but a good one. And again, I've done a little bit of research while we're talking here today, and there's a lot of examples where, you know, number one, the school bus safety record is way better, for instance, than it is in a family car. That this has been studied before, and evidently there is no scientific evidence that lives would be saved. But it's a head scratcher. I get that because you know, most of us don't think twice about it in a vehicle, and obviously your chance of surviving an accident in a car much better. But your point about this padding and other things obviously have been taken into consideration. Appreciate the comments. Henry Fargo, what's on your mind?
Hey, thanks, Scott. I'm calling in about the vote that Kramer needs to take with Lou Gohmert.
Yes, and as I mentioned earlier, Congressman Kramer was on MSNBC with Morning Joe this morning. I have the clip. We'll maybe play it at some point today, telling us why he'll be voting for John Boehner for Speaker. So that the suspense is gone. The vote's coming this afternoon, but at least as Congressman Kramer's vote's concerned, there's no longer any suspense.
I guess my point is that when is the light going to come on and people see that he's not a Tea Party like he comes on your show and claims every time or a conservative? I mean, voting for Boehner when you have somebody like Louie Gohmert who truly is a Tea Party guy, I mean, it makes no sense. I mean,
the only thing I would tell you in defense, and Henry, we can finish this on the side of break, there's a lot of folks that could be fairly called Tea Party folks that will be voting for John Boehner today. So I don't think that vote is the Tea Party litmus test. More coming up.
Serving the Northern Plains, this is What's on Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
PetroServe USA, under the red, white, and blue banners, are fueling America's energy revolution. That's right. PetroServe USA connects North Dakota's cornfields with North Dakota's oil fields to give you choice at the pump, including E15. You'll find them in Mandan, in the shadow of the Capitol in Bismarck, in West Fargo, Fargo, and Moorhead, in Castleton and Valley City and Wahpeton, over in Minnesota, Dilworth, Clinton, up in Bemidji, too. Just look for the red, white, and blue of PetroServe USA, and come on in for the friendly smiles and great eats. The 4-for-4 special is fantastic every day. Four items for $4. Get a hot stuff personal pan pizza, a 20-ounce drink or a big coffee, and two cookies. 4 for $4. It's a great deal. And the grab-and-go specials this month include Special K protein drinks, 2 for $3, and Special K protein bars, just 99 cents in your choice of flavors. The Deli Express Double XL sandwiches, $1.99 each. And Werther's candies, $1.59 for the caramels, $2.59 for the caramel popcorn. PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercials, commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, I'm George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM. I recently learned about a very unusual pharmacist who does not advocate the use of prescription drugs, except in rare circumstances, say when powerful antibiotics are needed to kill a potentially lethal infection, such as pneumonia or staph. Instead, pharmacist Ben Fuchs from Boulder, Colorado, suggests always giving the body all the nutrients it needs to survive, thrive, escape illness, and live younger and longer. I don't think you will find anyone who knows more about how the body works and can explain it in such a delightful and entertaining way. Ben has recorded some very useful health nugget minutes that are available 24/7 online at criticalhealthnews.com. I invite you to log on to criticalhealthnews.com, listen to these pharmacist Ben health nuggets, and maybe even interact with Ben via chat or email. You're going to love Pharmacist Ben online at criticalhealthnews.com.
Mitchell, I'm Scott Hanna. This is Energy... it's not Energy Matters. That's later today.
Is he rehearsing already?
I have Energy Matters on my brain. 3 until 5 this afternoon.
I didn't know you needed to rehearse that. I thought you had that part down already.
On K-Fire 550 and KLTC 1460. This is What's On Your Mind. Obviously, you found out what's on my mind. It's a show that's happening a few hours later today. Anyway, sorry about that. We're going to chat with speaker at the upcoming North Dakota Farm Bureau Farm and Ranch Conference. From the movie Farmland in just a moment. Stay tuned for that. Henry in Fargo was calling to talk about the vote for Speaker of the House later today. Henry, anything else you want to say?
Well, I'm just if this isn't a litmus test, I mean, our fight is more with the rhinos and the establishment than it is the Democrats there. You know, if this isn't a litmus test of what Kramer's made of, what is? I mean, when why do you keep supporting this and defending him?
Well, but what I'm saying is there are your Trey Gowdy, for instance. Do you think Trey Gowdy's a Tea Party, tenacious, conservative, they're fighting day in it? Okay, well, Trey Gowdy's voting for John Boehner today. Is he a rhino?
Of course not.
Well, then you've totally, stepped in it, because Kevin Kramer is, because of his vote for Boehner, and Trey Gowdy isn't. I just think it's silly to say one vote, any just one vote, puts you in that category. I think you judge someone by, the sweep of, where are they out of this, where are they out of that, and were they with us these 8 times, but against us these 2, and why, and, you know. And again, I'm going to play Congressman Kramer in his own words so you can hear it. He'll be here tomorrow. Feel free to give him a ring and share your concerns. You're entitled to your opinion. I just don't think the vote on Boehner says, you have Tea Party credentials or not. You have conservative credentials or not based on that one issue. Number one, I think the last I heard there's 10 to 12 votes out of the Republican caucus.
Right.
For Louie Gohmert.
You don't think they're strong-arming these people? You don't think they're twisting their arms and scaring them? And I mean, when they get in there with all this, I mean, we need people that are going to stand up and fight. And I can't speak towards Greg Gowdy. I definitely think he's a great guy, but he's not my representative. My representative is Jeff Kramer. And he comes on the show and he talks the talk, but he doesn't vote the vote. He doesn't want to walk.
Kevin Kramer, not Jeff, but I take your point, Henry, and appreciate the call, and call him again. Brian Jamestown, let's get you in here. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Scott.
Morning.
Hey, I remember being at the DMV a while back trying to get a renewal, and there was some 16-year-old kid getting carted back in on the DMV with the instructor, and he had just come back from a driving test, and this kid's almost in tears. And he looked over at his dad, and he says, they didn't pass. And the dad, he gets upset, and he asks the instructor, how come my son didn't pass? What did he do? And she goes, he failed to yield in front of a railroad crossing. And that was downtown Jamestown where they've got all the crossing arms and everything. So to me, if it seems that you can't even pass a driving test without yielding to that sign, that's like one of the most basic things you can learn when driving. And I'm not trying to be critical of the guy who was driving the bus and who died and everything, but I think people need to remember that. That is a rule, and if you couldn't pass a driving test without doing it, why would you do it in your day-to-day life?
Appreciate the call very much, Brian. I'm going to get two other quick ones in here before we go to our guests, so just give me your 2 cents, 30 seconds or less, if you don't mind, and we'll return to this topic a little later on in the program. Gary, you're in Hillsville, they tell me. Is that right?
Hillsboro.
Hillsboro. Got it. What's on your mind?
Well, I was going to talk about that train crossing. I think, you know, something needs to be done. There's been a lot of accidents on train crossings. I was working on just west of Tioga there, and it gets those times where it got real foggy. Well, we had to cross the railroad track, and there was no crossing. And one of the guys I was working with, he had stopped and looked both ways. He rolled down his window and tried to hear or see, you know, in the heavy fog. And he barely went across that track. I don't think he got 50 feet over the track, and here come a train. I think there ought to be, you know, I think for one thing, all county roads should have crossings. If there's, you know, a certain amount of train traffic, I guess that would have to be determined. And, you know, why not, you know, if there's a crossing that has to get a school bus across, why not put one on that crossing? If that'll save lives and stuff, you know, obviously you can't put a crossing signs on every crossing out here, but I think there could be a lot more than what there is, especially in areas where, you know, there's a lot of fog that can happen and stuff like that. Of course, that can happen anywhere, but, I just think that it's a big safety issue. You know, we do a lot of other things that we call safety, which, you know, for transportation, that really doesn't make any difference. But I think in that case, I think there clearly could be more crossings out there.
Gary, appreciate your take. Bob and Grafton, way to weigh in, too. Let's get you in here in a little bit. Bob, if you don't mind hanging on and joining us in a bit or trying us back, appreciate that very much. And welcome other calls on this topic as well. So far, the consensus more towards the, you know, the safety at the crossing rather than safety on the bus from our listeners. Appreciate all of it. Did you see the movie Farmland? I loved it. And the North Dakota Farm Bureau has their Farm and Ranch Conference coming up, and they actually are pleased to have one of the featured farmers in the movie Farmland that will be speaking to the group. Ryan Velhuizen is joining us on our Newsmaker line today to talk a little bit about the Farm and Ranch Conference from the North Dakota Farm Bureau and the movie Farmland. Ryan, how are you?
Not so bad. Yourself?
Fantastic. For folks that didn't see Farmland like I did, tell us a little bit about your experience with the movie and what you think it accomplished.
Well, Farmland is a documentary. It's a feature-length documentary that is trying to display the lives of the next generation of young farmers and to just document to the general public that at the end of the day, these farmers are still very much people just like anybody else.
It's a creative way to educate the masses and gauge its success. How do you think it's done?
Well, I think it's been incredibly successful. One of the biggest things we've got to remember out of this is it's the first one of its kind. Nothing like this has really been tried before. And so it's difficult to gauge success when you've got nothing to gauge it against. And I would say, now I might be a little bit biased here, but I would say it's a ferocious success. The markets and everywhere that they got this into far exceeded anyone's expectations.
And what kind of reaction did you personally get about your role in the film?
We were very apprehensive to do this in the first place. And much to my surprise, the support I've got from the agriculture community and the non-ag community and every viewers in general has been unbelievable. It's all been very positive stuff.
And why were you reluctant? What was your concern?
You know, anytime you farmers do a great job of producing and not a great job of telling. And I am no different than any other farmer out there. I feel like I do a pretty decent job of producing, but telling isn't always my strong suit. And, yeah, you know, you invite cameras onto your farm, you're kind of opening yourself up for criticism.
Tell us about your operation and your part in the film, which you were proudest to highlight.
So the operation here is we're a family farm in the southwest corner of Minnesota. There are currently four generations on the farm here right now. We farm approximately 2,000 acres, and we market about 30,000 head of hogs annually. So we kind of cover in the film, and it's not really so much that each guy has their individual thing, but, yeah, we do have the livestock, the hogs, and a little bit of the grain and kind of the combination between using the grain farm to feed the hogs and the integrated system.
The part I liked about your story was the family aspect. I mean, you've got your fourth generation farmer. You got your brother and sister involved in the operation, and that's a part of a lot of heritage of farms. So that was neat for folks that, again, for lack of a better term, city folks that need to understand that the food at the supermarket comes from the farm need to know a little bit about that heritage. I enjoyed that.
Good. I'm glad you did. You know, that's the unfortunate thing of life today is there's this unfortunate disconnect that all of a sudden food comes from a factory or it comes from this industrial process. And James Mull, the director, at the end of the day, he goes, I wanted people to know that their food still comes from people that are no different than anyone else. This human element that needs to be brought back into ag.
Now, you're going to be at the Farm and Ranch Conference that the North Dakota Farm Bureau is hosting. That'll be happening at the end of this month, actually. First day is January 30th, second day is February 1st. It's at the Ramada Hotel in Bismarck. And, by the way, you can find out more about this at ndfb.org. You're keynoting and speaking on Friday evening. Talk about your presentation. What do you tell these groups?
Biggest thing I'm going to want to push and feel that needs to happen is everybody needs to tell their story. This isn't really something aloof or out there that needs to be done and very difficult to attain. In my opinion, it's quite a simple concept that you just need to tell your story where you're at. I don't care who you are, what farm or ranch you come from, there's always people that wonder about what you do. And just share that with the passion and the care that every farmer I've ever ran into actually has.
Yeah, and they're probably going to have to bust down a few barriers towards the reluctance to do that, just not unlike you talked about wrestling with yourself, just because I agree with you. I think just telling the story, making sure people understand it, which does take you out of your box a little bit and, against that stoic, you know, Scandinavian roots most of us have to talk about it, but it's important. It's the bigger picture is calling to be having those conversations so people awaken to it, more generations do. And you did it well in the movie, and glad you're coming to North Dakota to share the story, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I always enjoy talking with people. I guess that's kind of part of the Dutchman in me and just the way I am. Hey.
I went to kindergarten in Laverne, Minnesota, so I liked your part of the movie because it brought me back to those southwest Minnesota roots from many moons ago. Yeah, yeah. Folks spent a little time in Pipestone, KLOH radio,
that's one of my home stations right here.
There you go, exactly right. Anyway, Ryan, congratulations on the success of the movie, on telling the story, and thanks for coming to North Dakota. We appreciate you telling us a little bit about what will happen. Look forward to seeing you up here at that event.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Again, the 2015 North Dakota Farm Bureau Young Farmers and Ranchers Farm and Ranch Conference, January 30th, February 1st. Details at ndfb.org. Our thanks to Ryan Veldhuizen, one of the farmers in the movie Farmland, one of the main speakers at that event. All right. We'll find out what's on the minds of farmers and ranchers and get back to more of your calls after this timeout.
Listening to the program that asks a very important question every day. What's on your mind? 800-228-0550.
Welcome to Soybean Minute. Now, here's Diana Biedelsbacher.
Soybean producers interested in intensive soybean management should attend one of four Getting It Right meetings scheduled for Streeter, Underwood, Minot, and Newburgh, North Dakota. North Dakota State University Extension representatives will discuss soybean research and 2015 production issues. Meeting dates and locations are January 13th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Central Grasslands Research Extension Center in Streeter, January 14th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Underwood City Hall Meeting Room in Underwood, January 15th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the North Central Research Extension Center in Minot, and January 15th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Newburgh Community Center in Newburgh. For more information, contact NDSU Extension Agronomist Dr. Hans Condell at 701-231-8135.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
Megan's on the phone from the North Dakota Truck Wash to tell us about their new interior detailing services for pickups, semis, and it's nice and easy. I don't even need to make an appointment, do I, Megan?
Absolutely. Just drop it off at night and it will be ready the next morning.
What's not to love about that, folks? Drop it off at night, it's ready the next morning. Interior detailing, and they're open 24/7. North Dakota Truck Wash, south of the Pinnacle Cenex in Stanley on the truck bypass. Call them 701-628-1550, 701-628-1550. Thanks, Megan.
Thank you.
The great thing about snowboarding is the adventure. All day long, you're finding different ways of doing different things, and it's never the same. Snowboarding has been really fun and really rewarding for me, and I want it to be fun and rewarding for my customers as well. I'm Lindsay McKinstry, and I'm one of the snowboard experts at Shields.
Shields, when it comes to gear and expert advice, we're right there with you in Bismarck, Minot, Grand Forks, Fargo, and Moorhead.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Finding out what's on the minds of farmers and ranchers, courtesy of the North Dakota Farm Bureau. And as I mentioned before the break with our guest, the Farm and Ranch Conference is coming to Bismarck on January 30th. Young Farmers and Ranchers Gathering. And another one of the speakers, a fellow by the name of Tommy Grisafi. He's a risk management advisor with Advanced Trading. And here's a sneak preview of Tommy's talk. Tommy, tell us more.
Well, I'm real excited to speak in North Dakota, and I can't wait to meet all of you and share my experiences both on the trading side and as well on the consulting side relating to farming and agriculture. I do believe 2015 will have its challenges and opportunities in risk management. Our meetings will discuss things you can and can't control. I truly believe all farmers can benefit from learning how to better manage margins and control downside risk. Feel free to come out and ask questions. I'd love to discuss how to help you learn to manage your grain and maximize your farm's potential.
Thanks, Tommy. You know what? Love finding out what's on the minds of farmers and ranchers at ndfb.org. Getting fired up for that gathering January 30th and Feb 1. Mark it on your calendar and find out more details at ndfb.org. The North Dakota Farm Bureau bringing ag home. We've been talking about the tragedy in Larimore. School bus driver and a 17-year-old girl killed when a school bus collided with a train. We know now from the preliminary accident report that the conditions evidently were slick and the train slid into the intersection. We've had a listener ask why students aren't required to wear seatbelts on school buses. We've had callers suggest more crossings need to be put in place. Welcome your take. Just received a Facebook message from someone that said, please take this down, this discussion of seatbelts in the school buses from your Facebook page, and let them bury their dead first. And as I said,
I would argue the point of let's solve it before there are more dead. But you know.
No, I appreciate this because it's always a sensitive thing. But I mean,
absolutely.
I think human nature is to say we don't want this to happen again. We don't want to open up the newspaper, turn on the radio, watch television news, and have to hear about this. So what can you do to make it better? I don't think it in any way, is disrespectful to folks in Larimore and against one person's opinion. So appreciate the sentiment, though, and that's why I'm sharing it. And welcome others who may agree or disagree. Bob in Grafton been waiting to weigh in on this at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Question,
morning.
What's on your mind? Bob?
Morning, Stu. Morning, Todd. I'd like to say first my condolences to the parents of the teenage girl that lost her life and the family members of the bus driver that lost his life. I'd like to say my condolences to those people. I have three kids. That's the parent's worst nightmare is to lose a child. Children are irreplaceable. They are our most valuable, most precious, thing or whatever you want to call it that we have. Now, let's look at this situation logically and commonsensically. I have a quick comment about Kevin Kramer at the end. School buses are required by law, and hazardous material loads are required by law to stop, physically stop, at every train crossing, regardless if there's arms there or not, open their bus door and look both directions, number one. Number two, those trains come flying through that area. I have a friend who lives out in that area. Those buses, they may not be doing 60 miles an hour, but they're certainly not doing 40 or 30. So they need to slow down a little bit in these little rural towns, regardless of the size of the town. Now, secondly, seatbelts. I don't care what statistic, what statistics are come up with. Most statistics are cost-effective driven. What's the cost-effectiveness of this or that? What's the safety issue of this? When it, bottom line, it all comes down to money. There's nobody on the face of this earth that can't tell me that putting seatbelts in school buses couldn't help protect lives and help protect children from getting injured. Of course, obviously, a school bus versus a train, the bus is going to lose. Anything versus a train, it's going to lose.
But so you think, your bottom line, Bob, is that you believe this is somebody saving a buck. That's why we don't have seatbelts on buses.
Absolutely I do, Scott. Yeah, there's no other way around it. Now, let me tell you why. I saw a news clip a while back, a camera inside of a school bus. The school bus went off the road. Okay, school buses could slide off the road and fall and tip over, lay over on their side. Those kids are getting thrown around inside that bus. I saw a video on the news of a bus that went off the road, hit a big bump. Those children were launched out of their seats. They bounced off the ceiling of the bus, and on their way back down, they bounced off the top of those high-backed seats. I don't care how much padding is in there. Kids are going to get hurt.
All right, Bob. Appreciate that. I'm going to keep going here just because we are tight on time, but you obviously have a different take. Rick and Bismarck, what's yours?
Well, I used to drive bus back in the 70s part-time, and when we drove
And I don't know if that's the law today anymore, but when we came to a railroad crossing, we had to stop, open the doors, and look both ways. And so, is that still the law today?
Yes. And again, yeah. Happens both times. What we know of this particular accident is, there was an attempt to stop, and the driver ended up sliding into the intersection. So obviously some slick conditions or speed or whatever, but that's at least preliminary what we know. Quick take on seatbelts as a former driver. Should they be there or not, Rick?
Yeah, it's a tough call.
All right. Appreciate that. More coming up. Don't go away.
You talk. We listen. Call 800-228-0550 and tell us what's on your mind.
You have so much going for you, but you want more. You yearn for a career with purpose, where you can really make a difference. Your career purpose is more than climbing the corporate ladder and earning more money. It's about living the life you were designed to live and serving others. The goal of the University of Mary Graduate Business Degree is to help you rediscover your career potential and develop skills, knowledge, and experiences you'll need to make the positive change in your life. There is still time to get enrolled. Even though our class just began, apply for your graduate degree for free right now and also get $1,000 towards your following summer class. That's right, $1,000. If you'd like more information, visit umary.edu/apply. That's umary.edu/apply. umary.edu/apply. Do it today.
Hey everyone, I'm having lots of fun with my new Ghost 80% AR-15. This baby shoots like a dream. Hey, thanks Guns80.com. You know, friends ask me all the time why I wanted a Ghost AR-15. That's easy. You see, my buddy Mark kept telling me that I'd better go to Guns80.com to get myself a Ghost AR-15 before they outlawed them. I thought he was just paranoid, so I ignored him. Well, at first. But then I started hearing government media types talking about making guns illegal, about the president signing on to a UN treaty that could take my gun rights away. You know, it really bugged me. So I dug in, I did the research, and I realized that Mark was right all along. I know now that having an unregistered Ghost AR-15 is the right answer. I'm a proud 80% Ghost AR-15 convert. You should be too. The answer is really simple. Get your Ghost AR-15 at Guns80.com. The big sale is on right now. Go to Guns80.com. That's Guns80.com. Guns80.com.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
Time waits for no one. That's why you should hurry to not miss the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year case lot sale. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663 to receive 20 to 25% off Mountain House freeze-dried foods. Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products, include real freeze-dried meats, entrees, eggs, fruits, and vegetables. Yes, 20 to 25% off now. Also receive 30% off other selected Mountain House foods and receive 30% off selected Packaway brand dehydrated foods. Just call 866-404-3663 and ask for the Freeze Dry Guy. Plus, long-range patrol ration eggs and ham at superb discounts. But these are extremely hard to find and nearly gone. So call today. Ask about our LRP ice cream bars, too. Some items limited to stock on hand. And remember, the Freeze Dry Guy pays for shipping to your door within the lower 48 states. Order now. Don't miss out on the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year case lot sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.